Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Experience. I want the next head coach to be someone that has experience and can push this group to the next level and win hockey games. And I think that's I have it in my mind exactly what I'm looking for, and that'll be starting today.
And it continues today, which was yesterday is tomorrow. Welcome in. It's Sabres Live, and Marty is processing. I feel like I'm on a good network and on a good pathway to delivering, hopefully, an enjoyable next hour. Marty, the big news, obviously, dropped yesterday, and then Kevin Adams said his presser in the afternoon. And, of course, the players are speaking today, among which we've heard from Alex Tuch, Rasmus Dahlin, Jeff Skinner. Here we are, 24 hours later, right? What has changed in your mind as far as clarity from the general manager's standpoint and how it impacts what you're thinking based on, at this time yesterday, we were talking about if you were Kevin Adams, who would you make the first phone call to? What are you thinking now after hearing yesterday and parts of today already on player availability?
Well, I listened to Kevin Adams. He talks about experience. That's what we talked on the show yesterday. We talked about my list of five are all experienced head coaches that have been on multiple teams, that have had success, that have a type of, and most GMs, when hiring a second coach, because they hire a first coach and then they go and hire a second coach, they usually get what they didn't go after the first time, right? They kind of go in a different direction. And Don Granato was a great development-minded coach. And Kevin Adams was quick to point out he has nothing bad to say about Don Granato, that he did a great job, just it wasn't good enough to where he wants the team to continue going, and somebody else has to take that leap. But so an experienced coach. At first, when I put my list together yesterday, I'm like, do these guys want to come to Buffalo? Do these guys, like, these are experienced coaches that may be looking for other opportunities, right? And now we may add Mike Sullivan to the list, because who knows if Pittsburgh is going to retain them now that they are, excluded from the playoffs this year because of last night's scenario. So we'll see what happens there. But I had multiple conversations with hockey people yesterday. And Buffalo is a now very attractive place for like head coaches that want to have a good foundation, want to have a place that they know they can win. You know, like 2 years ago, I think if you called, let's put somebody on the list, like Craig Berube, for example, but he was hired by the St. Louis Blues. But if he was available in 2 years ago after Ralph Kruger got fired, you call Craig Berube and you're like, hey, we're Buffalo, come here. I think there's more. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm going to wait out, like, see other opportunities. Maybe other teams with coach vacancies are more attractive for a bigger name, an experienced coach. I think 2 years later, it's not that case anymore. I think Buffalo is a very, very higher on the list with a lot of those coaches than most would have thought to. So that's where it, listening to Kevin Adams talk and then having my own conversation, I'm like, oh, this could really be interesting to see how many people get interviewed, how many big experienced coaches get interviewed, and if you have your choice at the end, or if they, you know, unfortunately, sometimes there's only one left that says, yeah, I want to do it, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
So based on all that and some of the names that we discussed yesterday, which were more from our audience that was connecting with us on X, do you think that the list is longer or shorter than what you were envisioning yesterday at this time?
When I was having my conversations, I felt, I could probably add this coach to the list. I could add this coach to the, I ended up like 8-9 coaches deep, right? And I'm like, oh, there's other players. Now,
so when clearly Kevin then you're not isolating it then on people that have won the ultimate prize, because those are few and far between, right?
No.
Like there are some that are still coaching, some that are out, you know what I mean? Like, so
yeah, no, I mean,
experience doesn't necessarily mean they've scaled the mountain, but that also might make it more appealing there, right?
Well, yeah, and then sometimes you forget a coach or a name, and then you're like, oh, like I was doing the Leafs Florida Panthers game yesterday at TSN, right? They look at the bench and they're working on a play, like a power play or whatever, and Sheldon Keefe is standing right next to Guy Boucher, and I'm like, oh, Guy Boucher, he's doing the power play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He is a very structured, like a guy that has an NHL experience, a younger type coach. He's not a 65, 68 years old, but he's been a head coach in the NHL, and now he's an associate coach in Toronto. And I'm like, well, maybe that's a guy you interview. I don't know. I really don't know, but I'm like, maybe that's a guy you interview. Maybe your list of candidates is bigger. Now, when I listen to Kevin Adams talk and he says, I have a very, not specific, I don't remember the word he used, but a clarity as to what I want. I know what I want, and I'm like, oh, well, his list must be short, because if he knows what he wants, usually that means I have somebody in mind. Now I just got to go through the process to see if it works. But so my list expanded, and then when Kevin spoke, I felt like, well, maybe the list is shorter, you know, in real time than it is on my sheet of paper.
Alex Tuck earlier today on the coaching change, and more specifically on the next hire.
Kevin and his support staff are going to make the right decisions when hiring our next coach. Someone that, like you said, is going to hold us accountable. Someone with some experience, a good hockey mind, smart. And I think someone that brings energy into this locker room. I think at times we weren't able to maintain energy, and at times we weren't able to gather, I guess, and create energy and momentum ourselves, and someone that's able to do that and help us reach our full potential.
And those last two words are interesting.
False start on my end. Sorry, Duffer. I jumped the gun. I got a yellow flag that hit me right in the face and I fell over.
Okay. It's really funny that you say that, because I was at a lacrosse game yesterday afternoon. And the velocity with which the officials chucked the flags was really appealing to me. And it had me thinking about how you would love this and you would be all over it. Like, you'd
was it John Tavares throwing the red challenge flag in velocity?
These yellow ones traveled at about 10 times the speed of JT's red ones. So it was something to behold, especially when simultaneous flags went off.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so the point there is just, you know, kind of how Alex wrapped up that comment, right? And I full potential. So when you were talking about this team, this organization, this city, perhaps being more appealing now for an experienced coach, you have to base that on what those last two words were, right? From Alex.
Yeah.
That whoever's coming in here sees a way to maximize this full potential of a team that's been close in the last 2 years, like not even close enough in the sense of like, obviously they wanted more, but they're in, right? Like they're in that cluster of teams.
Yes. Yeah.
So there has to be, like, you've obviously experienced it with these types of coaches. So what makes them, like, what makes this next individual believe that they have the way to maximize that full potential?
So a head coach is like a school teacher. You know, you go from year to year, you're in second grade. Little Johnny, little Tiffany had a great year in second grade. And then in the third grade, the teacher's different. The teacher communicates different. The teacher maybe, you know, doesn't connect in the same way. I think head coaches are like school teachers in a lot of ways. Is either you have to adapt with the players that you have, or the players have to adapt to you. There's two ways of doing it, right? Now, getting the best out of everybody is not just the coach's responsibility. Obviously, mm-hmm. it's your own responsibility to be able to, you know, take in the information. So when you start the year and, you know, little Johnny doesn't have a good start, good first report card, and you're like, hey, you have to work harder, right? That's the first thing. Like, you got to do your homework, got to work harder. The second step is, well, is their communication with the coach or the teacher, are they getting the best potential out of you? I think that's kind of like what the players are battling with right now with Alex Tuch. I mean, Alex Tuch had a career year 2 years ago. Don Granato got the best out of him, the very best out of him. He led the team in scoring this year, tied with Dahlin. I mean, it wasn't as great a season, but it's still a good season. But he probably is looking at, I can bring out more out of myself, and hopefully the next coach will be able to help me a little bit along the way, because that you need that help. That's why there's coaches. If it was just the players, you would have coaches behind the bench. Nobody who would want to, like, it's just on the players. It's not. So that's the dynamic here that, you know, is interesting. And after the shock of yesterday with the players, it's probably like, oh my goodness, this sucks. The coach getting fired sucks. But now you're like, okay, let's move forward. Let's get excited about what the potential and the possibilities can be.
And Rasmus Dahlin, further on that exact topic, you know, on what is needed for the next step.
As a group, we have to play better. First of all, we have to look ourselves in the mirror. Us players weren't good enough. We didn't help Donnie at all, honestly. So now we need. We need a good summer. When we get to training camp, we need a really good camp, and we have to be pushed. We have a young group who are hungry, and we need to get pushed hard, and we're ready for it.
Okay, this one's going to come out of left field for you. Mm-hmm. Which area of the team do you think a coach can have the biggest impact, the next coach can have the biggest impact on? The forwards or the defense? I don't even know why I'm asking you this, but I just probably just seeing Rasmus there. Look, Rasmus can do it all. We know that. But he's still going to keep getting better at it. That's the beauty here, right? Like, I know he's 6 years in, but every aspect of what he does is going to improve. But, you know, you heard certainly yesterday questions towards the general manager. Like, you know, you don't necessarily want a coach that's going to, like, bring in the boring hockey, right? Even though you want the wins, like, there's a fine line here. Like, so do you think that that next experienced coach can really, like, elevate the forward group? Or is it more this team right now, as the roster is constructed, needs to have, like, the best defense core ever, which then makes everybody else
I think that the new coach needs to come in, and you can win games by having this great offense, but you can be consistent in winning games with being, Kevin talked about being hard to play against. And one night it's, you got to be physical. One night you got to be scoring. One night you got to be just good sticks and good positioning. But in the end, I feel like the Victor Hedman is hard to play against. Not because Victor Hedman is Scott Steven and will decapitate you every time you, but he's so good positionally. He's got such a good stick. He's, and that to me is what being hard to play against would be. And I think that's having a good defensive structure. Now, I struggled as I was driving yesterday, and I know we talked about it, and there was a comment on X. Somebody says, I don't want the New Jersey Devils trap, you know, and low-scoring game, boring games. I get that. But I'm not even saying going 82-0 and you win 1-0 games, all 82 games. I'm saying if you finish the season with 100 points as a defensive-minded team, or you finish the season, like last year, 1 point out of the playoff as an offensive-minded team, which one, as a fan, would you take? And it's a no-brainer. Everybody would take 100 points in the playoffs, a defensive-minded team. It's the defensive-minded teams that don't get in that get a bad rap. But winning with structure and strong defensive play is never going to have a bad rap, you know, because you win. That's all. That's all it is.
Can you give me a comparable right now among teams that have qualified for the playoffs that might resemble what the Sabres could look like next year?
How about, it's hard to say the Winnipeg Jets.
I knew you were going to say that.
Because the Winnipeg Jets have Connor Hellebuck. But minus Connor Hellebuck, who's the Vezina Trophy winning Jets, like their defensive core is not Norris winner.
Oh,
you
wait
know.
A minute. Morrissey absolutely
Morrissey's
needs...
really good. But yeah. Dahlin is better.
Yeah, in future outlook, perhaps, but I think in the last couple of years, like you have to give a little more credit to Morrissey and how good he's been. I don't think people give him enough credit, quite frankly.
More okay, Dahlin, Power, Samuelson, Byram, for example,
right. Exactly,
is
yeah.
a lot better than Morrissey and DeMello.
Not until they prove it, though.
Exactly. But you can be the Winnipeg Jets, who are going to win the Jennings Trophy this year. The lowest goals against as a team in the National Hockey League. Are they a boring team to watch because they're good defensively? 100% no. 100% no. Are they hard to play against this year? Yes. Mm-hmm. Right? Have they made some drastic changes over the last few years? Yeah. They went through coach changes. They got Rick Bonus. They decided to trade away Pierre-Luc Dubois. They decided to let go of Blake Wheeler. They've made a lot of changes, right? And the Jets are better off for it, but their structure is their defensive game. And right now, I mean, because of that, I think the Jets, in my opinion, are they're going to win the first round against Colorado. Colorado's got that great offense, but the Jets are the team, I think, that you can look at and say they're great defensively, they get success, and they're not boring to watch.
Right. And just if you haven't been following along, Josh Morrissey, 76 points a year ago, 69 this year, and fifth in voting for the Norris last year. So my statement is not outlandish.
No, it's absolutely not. But you know, Morrissey had a drop in production this year, which could happen. But
seven
he had,
points.
I get that, but I'm just saying like, it's
that's
a little
like
bit
saying
like
Wayne Gretzky had a drop. From
I know
250
it's,
to 200.
Picking,
come on,
it's nitpicking. But again, Josh Morrissey is not doing it on his own. Rasmus Dahlin will not do it on his own. He has a supporting group because of the approach, the structure, the mindset, the hard work. I mean, Dahlin just said we got to be, you know, we know we got to be pushed. And I'm like, hey, you just opened the door because a new coach coming in, hearing Rasmus Dahlin, days we need to be pushed. Mm-hmm. That's green light. That's green light. And it's going to be tough.
Right. And the Jets last night were able to lock down home ice advantage in round number one by their win over Seattle. So they are now going to face Colorado and have that home ice advantage. So a lot of things got settled last night. We'll obviously get into as much of it as we can later on in the show. But, you know, first and foremost, and we, you know, we're kind of operating a little bit on the assumption that you've digested a ton of what the general manager had to say yesterday. And as always, it's available through our social channels and on sabres.com as well. But the, you know, the freshest material is coming from the players this morning. And not surprisingly, based on what the GM outlined yesterday, certain players being asked about specific names when it comes to the next coach. So one coach that's out there that is not employed at the moment would be Gerard Gallant, Alex Tuck on his former coach.
Turkey. That's another one. Oh, man, he was an unbelievable coach. I really loved him. Obviously, I had him my first couple of years in the NHL. Went to Stanley Cup final with him. That's another fantastic candidate. If they were looking at those two guys, I'd be extremely happy with both. I think he brings brings a lot of firepower and energy with him. He was great for me. He really held me accountable as a rookie, as a young guy, and I wouldn't be the player I am without him today.
Who do you think the other guy was that Tuck was referring to?
Lindy Ruff was the other guy that Tuck was referring to. But Gerard Gallant, listen, has had a lot of success. He was on my list yesterday. Why? Because there's been some tumultuous exits for Gerard Gallant over his years in the organization he's been with. And obviously, if you're Kevin Adams and if Gallant was a coach that you interviewed, you would kind of see what happened and you would kind of get answers there. But you talk about somebody that pushes and till the limit, he's that guy. He is wearing like his emotions and more on his sleeves. You could see it behind the bench at practice at any moment in his interviews. They call him Turk, and he coaches like he played. Really, that's the way that he did. He coaches good like player. He played, and that's was a really tough nose, hard player, good player, and that's how he coaches.
Yes, and as mentioned, it's an interesting dynamic here. Players being asked specifically about names that have coached in the NHL, and obviously we just mentioned the other one that is now out of a job because of what transpired in New Jersey during the course of this season. That would be former Sabre coach Lindy Ruff. And Alex had these comments on him.
I think I've probably watched Lindy coach about as many games as I've actually played. Well, more than the amount of games I played for the Sabres. So he was my favorite coach growing up. That was the teams that I watched and sat on the couch and watched with my dad. And to see what he was able to do with those teams was really cool. It was really special. I got to actually meet him for the first time this year. I didn't even think about that. Lindy's a great coach, a really smart guy. I've always been a huge fan of his. I have no idea. That'd be pretty cool, though. Dream come true for me.
It's interesting, right? And it makes me wonder, when you hear players being asked about specific names, does it in any way impact the process? Or do you just operate on the assumption that the general manager talks to all his top players or doesn't? Like, I'm really curious here. Lay it out what you think is actually happening here as far as, the general manager wanting feedback, not wanting feedback, being open to anything, already having his mind, quote unquote, made up. Like, that's what some people might think right now, right? Because Kevin was very demonstrative, I thought, yesterday.
He was firm. Right? He brought it up on his own. It wasn't somebody saying, do you have a candidate in mind? Do you have a top of the list candidate? No, it wasn't like that. He brought it up. He says, I have a clear idea of what I want. And it starts today. So I think there's different situations. Personally, I remember when John Tortorella got fired at the end of the season, the 12-13 season with the New York Rangers. I think Glenn Seder, Jeff Gorton at the time with the New York Rangers, talked to the leadership group. They talked to Henrik Lundqvist. I know because Lundqvist and I were talking and he's like, I don't know that we can win with Torts and, what kind of coach do we need? And that was the thing, right? And I'm not saying he got Torts fired. I'm just saying, after Torts got fired, he was like, okay, what kind of coach do we need? Like, this is the conversation. And I know he had that conversation. He's the leader of the pack, right? He's going to have that conversation.
No.
I think Kevin Adams, when selecting Don Granato last time, probably got together with a lot of his leaders. And what was your experience with Granato as interim head coach? What did you feel like? How did that work? And the experience between going from Kruger to Granato and really getting in the mindset of the players. I will venture a guess that he will have very little conversations with his players this time around because Kevin probably could have gone around the locker room and asked everybody, how's Donnie? Love Donnie. Donnie's great. Donnie's awesome, right? Donnie's great. And then ultimately he made the decision to go in a different direction. Why? Because there comes a point, and I'm going to say it, and it's going to be harsh. You earn the right to have an opinion, or you don't. And I think that the players this year probably lost a little bit of that because of some of the moments where it was like no compete, no energy, we didn't play good hard enough, didn't give 100%. You're like, all these things that was said by Kevin, said by Don Granato. As a player, do you now have the right of having that opinion when all these comments were made from game one to game 82? I don't know. And I love it. Like, Alex Tuch is a great person and he's a great soundbite. And he's talking about it with a smile. Like, yeah, you're going to ask him about Gerard Gallant because he had him. Yeah, you're going to ask him about Lindy Ruff because he grew up watching the Sabres. Mm-hmm. But if it was, you asked the question to Tage Thompson, he probably would have it. Very little to say because he doesn't have that experience with other candidates or that history with other candidates like that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. There is game action tonight to speak of organizationally. The Amerks are home this evening against Toronto. What an opportunity, Marty. 3 games left in the regular season. They are 1 point out of first in the North Division. Devin Levi is going to get the start tonight at Blue Cross Arena. The last home game will be on Friday night. And then, of course, they have a road game on Saturday. But, you know, keeping a close eye on Anton Wahlberg, the fact that they're going to be a little healthier on the back line with Ciccone coming back in tonight. And, you know, they're still without, unfortunately, Brett Murray. Tyson Kozak is making some progress. But I think the most notable, as it ties in with, you know, end of Sabres season and now continuation of Amerks season, is that Lukáš Rusek is back. And when he left, you know, to go to Buffalo, he was the team's leading scorer, and he returns to play on a line with Byro and Weisbach tonight. So this is nice. This is a really, really, you know, it's disappointing for sure that Brett Murray, you know, had that upper body injury just last week, and now he's out week to week. But this is starting to take shape nicely, as it will for all the teams around the Amerks in the North Division here.
Yeah, no, it's look, 3 games left, and I know my time with the Rochester Americans and the playoff run of 98-99 was one that really did wonders for my career and for my confidence, and knowing that I had a great year, and then I followed it through in the playoffs, and we went to the Calder Cup Finals, and the organization did it in 99 and did it in 2000, and it led to a lot of players come in and help the Sabres, and that's the same thing, and, you know, yeah. They can still catch right now the Syracuse Crunch. They can finish first in that division. That's a goal. That's a goal that's attainable and that the Rochester Americans should be eyeing on, because 3 weeks ago they were, a lot closer to not making the playoffs than making it. And now we're like chasing first place in the division. So I think that's great for them.
Yeah. And what's crazy is if you were just looking at the standings on MSG, the fact that top to bottom is a gap of just over 10 points. And when you look at the rest of the league, there is truth and clarity behind Seth Appert's words all year long that the North Division is an absolute beast. Nobody is out yet. Utica and Laval still have a chance to catch fifth place Belleville, but the rest of the divisions in the American Hockey League typically average between 30 and 40 points from the top of the division to the bottom. This is crazy, the type of competition that has existed against the Amerks, around the Amerks, the entirety of the season, which is an amazing development tool, right?
Between Hershey and Bridgeport, there's 42 points, 109 to 57. Between Milwaukee and Iowa, there's 35 points. And between Coachella Valley and San Diego, there's 40 points. That's how the other divisions are. And the Central Division, not the Central, the North Division, Syracuse is 84 points and Utica 73. There's 11 points, and 3 games can flip that on its head, right? You win 3, the other team lose 3. That's a 12 point swing right there.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. I'll be seeing you in Rochester on Friday, but of course the Amerks are playing at home tonight against Toronto, and we'll be back after this with more reaction from the players who are speaking this morning, and of course a quick tour around the NHL now that there is a lot more clarity when it comes to playoff positions and the 16 teams that will be advancing. Stay with us.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get to the National Hockey League without handling pressure. That is the most ridiculous thing I could ever hear someone say, and that guys can't handle pressure. It's what you do for a living. That's how you get here. You start getting scouted as a professional athlete. You start getting scouted when you're 14, 15, 16 years old. So that's nonsense.
Production manager Jason Weiss is on site to make sure I handle the pressure properly today. So I'm glad that we have a good connection, Marty, as we roll on here on Sabres Live.
Yeah, you have a staff on the road, and I have my little dog running around, and she's like causing more issue. That's why my Wi-Fi goes down sometimes.
Oh, no.
I think she's the wires.
It's not a chew toy.
I know. No, she's good. She's good. She's learning now. Literally, Duffer.
Yes.
Sidebar. When we're done at 12:55, mm-hmm. Okay. If I sit here and just for 2 minutes do more stuff on the computer, she's scratching at the door. She knows that the show is over. I bet you she's watching it in the other room, and she knows, and she comes to the door and scratch only when the show is over.
Wow. And are you putting in an extra time today? I thought the show ended at 12:54.
It ends whenever it ends. I don't know. My clock, Jeff reset my clock on the computer, so maybe my clock is right now.
Okay. I think Kevin Adams obviously was very passionate yesterday. And, you know, do you agree when it comes to the pressure aspect? And how does a coach make a team? How does the next coach make this team more, even more?
I agree in theory.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah. I mean, I remember playing midget games, having a lot of pressure, and junior games and American League games. But I remember playing conference finals, NHL games, where I was making money that I never made before. And I'm like, that's a different kind of pressure. It's at the highest of level. And the reason why there's only 700, 800 NHL players is because, and there's only, what, 200, 300 that are like top of the league, is because it's hard to handle all that and perform at the highest of level against the best players. So I agree, in theory, it's like everybody handles the pressure. But at the NHL level, like handling Dylan Cousinson, I just got a new contract and I'm making $7 million plus and I need to score and I'm not scoring. That's hard. That's not easy. That's, you know, yeah, handling pressure, but it's different.
Well, pressure was on last night in the NHL, and I set the over-under at 2.5, dangerously, on the Washington-Philadelphia game, and
you got it right on.
Yeah, well, we straddled it for sure, and let me tell you, it was, if we saw games like this repeatedly, I'm going to use a line I used a few weeks ago when Vancouver played somebody, and now I'm blanking on it, but we would be headed for another lockout, obviously. Like, there were no chances. They are replacing the boards in Philadelphia after the heavy usage from last night. Like, whatever. Like, there weren't a lot of scoring chances. It came down to the empty net scenario that many wondered if it would happen, because Philadelphia, no matter what happened in the league, Philadelphia had to win in regulation time last night.
So two things that happened last night in that game. One is, like you said, when it was 1-1 after two, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Philly's going to have to pull their goalie in regulation with 2 or 3 minutes left, because they need to win in regulation to stay alive. Mm-hmm. Now, they also, Detroit was playing at the same time. If Detroit got 1 point, Philly was eliminated. So when the Detroit Red Wings scored with 3 seconds left to tie it, David Perron, it technically eliminated Philly, but Philly didn't know that. Torts didn't know that, because it was it wouldn't matter, because the Philly, if knowing that they're eliminated, maybe they don't pull their goalie. Maybe they don't give the win to Washington. Okay, well, let me ask you this. If Philly had been eliminated before the game, okay, Detroit played at 1 o'clock yesterday, Philly played at 7. Let's just see, hypothetical. And Detroit got a point and eliminated Philly from the playoff contention, because 1 point eliminated Philly. Does Torts pull his goalie with 2 minutes left in regulation in a 1-1 game? No. He plays the game through overtime. He plays the game through shootout, right? Because he doesn't want to give Washington the extra point for free. He doesn't want to give him that empty net.
If you're coaching Philadelphia, why would you want to give Sidney Crosby and the Penguins a chance to make the playoffs?
Okay, I get that. But also, Washington is a big rival in Philly as well. The Delaware River rivalry is also allegedly a big one. I lived it. We beat Washington. I'm just saying.
I know.
So, but Torts didn't know. He pulled his goalie. Washington scores in the empty net. In that case, Washington now eliminates Philly, obviously, by beating them. Detroit, who end up winning in a shootout, and the Pittsburgh Penguins with a regular time, like a regulation time empty net goal. It was crazy. So that's the first thing that happened. How about the second thing that happened early in the game? Flyers took a shot on Charlie Lindgren. Lindgren makes the save. The puck went up in the air, but he's acting like he's got it in his stomach, right? Kelly Sutherland, the referee, blows the whistle. As the puck is coming down, it hits Farabee and goes into the net. It's a goal. It's a good goal. The referees lost sight of the puck, but the puck's in the air. Like, how do you – all four referees lost sight of the puck. I don't know. But they couldn't review it because – it's not a continuation play. It actually hit a Flyers player after the whistle and went into the net. The Flyers had a 1-0 lead there, and it didn't count. So that was another crazy thing that happened in that game between Washington and Philly.
Well, Spencer Carberry is the coach of the year, and that's all that matters, really, at the end of the day.
Well, and Ovi got to 31 goals. His one yesterday was like off his... sick off his pants. I have no idea. Dylan McElrath, of all people, gets the primary assist, his first point of the year. He's only played in three games. He played one in November. He played last two nights ago, and he played last night, and he gets the primary assist on that first goal by Washington.
Yeah, I'll say this. The Hershey Bears, Calder Cup champions of 2023, had a significant impact on the Capitals down the stretch and clinching a playoff spot. And, you know, obviously it all worked out, and Charlie Lindgren was, you know, more than good enough again. So just the second time this year, he's played on back-to-back days, but he got the win this time around. Washington is in.
Ooh.
Detroit gave it the – yes.
No, but okay, because you're going into Detroit, right? Charlie Lindgren plays in back-to-back. We talked about it yesterday. He had done it once this year. Duffer, you brought up his stats. You say he didn't do bad. He gave up, what, two goals in that second game?
Yeah.
They lost 3-2, I think, whatever. Like, it's game 6 and 7 in the playoffs, right? You're Washington. You got to win both. And Detroit – playing Montreal on back-to-back nights on Monday and Tuesday. They go with Alex Lyon in game one. They win. They go with James Reimer in game two. Are you kidding me here? You're the Detroit Red Wings.
They won.
Yeah, but it was by the skin of their teeth, right? They didn't give themselves the best of chance.
Now we're analyzing victories. You know you're not supposed to overanalyze the wins, right?
I'm overanalyzing this. I think this was... They did win, but it was despite the fact that Reimer had a couple of bad moments in that game. Oh, Caden Primo had a bad moment in the game, too. And Duffer, you're going to love that because you love hockey moments.
Yeah, with 3 seconds left. Like, why didn't he find the puck?
That was one of them. It was even worse on Veleno's goal that made it 3-2.
Yes.
The late penalty on Montreal. Primo makes a save. He's thinking there's going to be a whistle because he touched the puck. Hey, a save is not a whistle. A save is not possession. He's standing straight up. Veleno shot it in a broken controller goaltender. And they made it 3-2. I'm thinking, dude, you've been around the game long enough. Your dad was Keith Primo. Don't you know as a goalie, touching the puck with your blocker is not a whistle? Oh, I was losing it when I saw that.
I couldn't believe that what I thought was a relatively innocent shot from Perron, which you obviously knew was coming with 3 seconds left after the faceoff win, but whatever. Detroit, you know, Detroit had some remarkable moments in the final few weeks of the year, but ultimately, you know, they got done in by some extended losing streaks, part of which were without Dylan Larkin. And I think, again, this season was a real showcase for Larkin in this new era of Red Wings hockey. I know he's been there a while, but if we're going to take it back to Buffalo here and reflect on players taking a next step and, you know, under a different coach and whatever, I think Larkin is a really good example of how you can have that young player, and whether it's Thompson or whether it's Dahlin, like, it doesn't have to be the same position, but like, I think Dahlin's actually, now that we're verbalizing it, probably a more like a better example here, a guy who's been here a while, but then like, just like, you can't live without him in the lineup. Right. And, anyway,
so it's
full credit
interesting.
To the Wings. I thought they made it, they made it incredibly compelling.
It's interesting that Patrick Kane gets the shootout winner. Like, what's Patrick Kane going to do next year? Like, he got the win for Detroit, but it doesn't get him into playoffs. You know, he went to Detroit because he wanted to go there thinking they had the better chance. It's interesting to see where Patrick Kane's going to end up next year. Is a new coach in Buffalo, maybe impact as maybe the likeliness of Patrick Kane wanting to sign in Buffalo or not? That's and you talk about Dylan Larkin really responding to Newsy Lalonde, Derek Lalonde as a coach. I think that's another case. Like, I don't know why I fell into this rabbit hole yesterday, but I was looking at Quinton Byfield's split with Todd McLellan and with the new coach now in LA. And Quinton Byfield had 15 goals before the All-Star break with Todd McLellan as a coach. He has 19 right now. Like, yes. Todd McLellan got the best of a young player like Quinton Byfield and really put him on the map. Like, that's another, Todd McLellan's available. And you've got a lot of young players like that continue the development, but he's got experience and has been coaching.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Like, maybe those two things can fit together.
Yeah, under Jim Hiller, it has been very, very, very obvious where the attention to detail is with the Kings. And that was the actual team that I was making the joke about earlier. When they played Vancouver a couple of weeks ago, yeah. I was like, oh my goodness. Like, come on. Like, there's immense skill on both sides. Can we try to score?
Yeah.
You know, but
Vancouver was doing that because they didn't have Thatcher Demko, so they were protecting themselves. And the Kings are like, well, that's the way we got to win games.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a really interesting point to bring up about Byfield because he was one of the most compelling young player talking points this year. But I don't put this on him, so to speak, you know, this maybe drop in production. I think this is more of like the product of how everything is functioning around him. And that's not, and look, now that we've seen what Byfield can do at this level, he might once again become one of the more interesting pieces night one of the playoffs. And like, how can he be a game breaker in these incredibly tense times? So we'll see how it goes. But obviously, last night, some more clarity happened in the by the way, what do you think is going to happen with LA and Vegas? Think Vegas is going to jump into that 2-3 spot with Edmonton, and then LA is going to be the number two wild card and take on Dallas?
So they both have one game left right now. The Vegas Golden Knights control their own destiny. They're correct. Third in the Pacific Division. They would play the Oilers. Depends on what happened in the last game. I think Vegas plays the Edmonton Oilers. I think we are going to get that first round matchup. That would be to be honest with you, I think the Oilers want to play the Vegas Golden Knights too, because the Kings lock things down and it could be trouble. So I think the Oilers want to play Vegas in the first round.
Yeah, so that would then mean, you know, LA, Dallas, and Nashville, Vancouver would be the matchup. And I don't know. I'm still unsure as to how much I believe the Predators can cause harm once the playoffs begin. It's been a really incredible year for them. They perennially are in the playoffs or right on the cusp. And it's been that way for over 20 years. So full credit to Andrew Burnett and company this season for getting it done and getting them back there. But some major challenges await. We got birthdays, fill in the blanks, perhaps, and more when we come back on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Alex Tuck and Rob Ray cut from the same cloth. Tuck selected as the nominee for the King Clancy Memorial Trophy, presented to the player who best exemplifies leadership qualities on and off the ice and has made noteworthy humanitarian contribution to his community. Of course, that was decades ago for Razor. He's changed dramatically since then. I'm kidding. This,
you know,
is
what,
all
but
really
here's
good.
Here's the reason.
This is great.
Here's the
congratulations,
thing.
Alex, on the nomination.
The fan base voted Alex Tuck for the Rico Award. King Clancy, yes. Very similar. So the fan base got it right. They recognized the contribution by Tucky.
Happy birthday, Victoria Beckham. She now knows what it's like to be 50. Jennifer Garner was able to celebrate that a couple of years ago. Happy 52nd. And happy birthday, Brad Boys, who we saw recently at the catwalk for charity, right?
Yeah, one of those few players that have Bo Byram initials, BB. Brad Brown, Brad Boys. Bobby Bogner. and Bo Byram. And he was also the Girdle a couple of days ago. If you play Girdle, the NHL Wordle, it was boys.
I started
with Biron, but it was the good B and then it was boys.
Couple of fill in the blanks here from the True Way. Blank will be the date of the next NHL game in Arizona.
What are we today? We are April the 17th, 2024. I think they'll come back, but I think it will be in 2031. I think they'll get an expansion team within 5 years, but then they'll take a year or two to get back in. 2031 is October of 2031 is opening night for Arizona.
Oh, where do you think my mind went as soon as you mentioned 2031?
Is there going to be a concert that weekend?
Is there going to be Sabres Live? Will Jeff be producing and will you and I be still on Zoom?
Probably not. We'll be like holograms. We'll be holograms by then.
Little AI action on yes. Sabres Live. Oh, my goodness. All right. Great show today. We'll do it again tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.